Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Exposition, a show about the art scene in southeastern Ohio.
That's right.
I'm here with co-host Valerie Thomas. And first off, I'd like to ask her a little bit about what's going on and what's new at the Artisan Shop in Galpalis.
Well, we had a very successful second annual St. Patrick's Day cultural parade and festival last month, and appreciate everybody who was so helpful and contributing in their own way, and we hope to make it bigger and better every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've started some great classes we're scheduling at the Artisan Studio, and we have some new things in the shop, so you'll have to come down and check out what's in the shop. And displays have changed, yes. Park Avenue cards have a new display. You can see all the cards all at once.
Yeah, it's not just stuck in a box.
It's not.
Yes,
you don't have to flip through a box or pull them out. They're just all displayed, and they're beautiful and amazing.
And then there's that new glass one that's in the middle that's really nice.
Yes, yes. There's the glass shelves really show off some of our wares.
And then you've had what's it called, where you paint?
The brush and bottle.
Right.
And we have cookies and canvas and coffee and canvas.
And cookies and canvas?
That's for the kids. That's for ages 7 and up. And those are coming up in the next few weeks, I believe. This Friday we have a brush and bottle, and this Saturday we have a coffee and canvas. So go.
And then you also had a thing where you fashion things like stained glass.
Stained glass, yes. That was last Friday, and there's going to be another one coming up in May. So keep an eye on our calendars and our Facebook pages.
Yeah, that was pretty cool looking.
Yes, it was a Celtic cross and beautiful work. And these are all beginners. And our teacher, Tracy Polson, was so easy to work with and helped everybody make a masterpiece. They all went home with a masterpiece. It was wonderful.
That's one thing. If you don't think you can, just try it first.
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody's got, I think, everybody has some artistic talent.
I believe so. I believe so. And people say, I can't, I don't.
Yeah, I can't draw, and everybody can draw.
I don't believe any of them.
Right.
Because everybody has their own creativity. And
well, it's music or a 2D art or a 3D art or
performing, visual, the
right.
whole shebang. It's just, you have something to offer.
Right.
Absolutely. And maybe you don't know it, but we'll find it.
Right.
Yes.
So we have a person here today.
Yay!
Who do we have?
We have Marlene Gruder. She's one of our artisans at the Artisan Shop and hopefully at the studio to give some classes coming up. And she's an amazing, creative, beautiful person that I can't wait till she tells us all about how she creates and where she got inspiration.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you know?
I was born in Huntington, West Virginia, and I went to Marshall University and did my undergraduate and my graduate work there. And in 2000, my husband and I moved to Ohio and bought an 86-acre farm, as is. And that's kind of how everything got started. The land was overgrown, and We needed something to whack the weeds away and decided to get some goats.
Goats are great lawnmowers.
Yes, they are. And it's amazing what they can take down. We would have bets of how quick they could clear a pasture out.
Wow.
So along with the great lawnmower, they also brought wonderful mohair. We got the Angora goat.
Is that what mohair is?
Yes, yes.
It's a goat.
It's from a goat, not a rabbit.
Because I've been into antique cars for a long time, and a lot of the interiors from the 20s and 30s are mohair.
Yes, yes.
Really?
Oh, it's a very luscious fiber that even you can, a lot of the flyers that fishermen do the...
Oh, fly fishing?
Fly fishing. The little things on there, that's mohair.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's a very sturdy type of fiber.
Oh, my goodness.
It has a lot of luster to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very nice.
Ooh.
So we bought 6 of them, and they kind of changed my life completely. Because of the fiber they produce, I had to figure out something to do with all the fiber. Attended fiber shows and tried different types of arts. You know, the weaving, crocheting, knitting, and then I found felting, which I had never even heard of. Felting. It was just
I thought you just bought felt. You know?
No, I know. It was like, what is this? So, the lady that I had. Saw some of her products. She actually was my mentor, turned out to be my mentor, and showed me how to do felt making. And I've been doing it probably maybe about 10 years now.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I just never knew a felt maker until I met you. I didn't even know anything about it. This is just
right, and they're a little bit far and in between. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe I can catch a few today that might want to learn how to do some felt making.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, I'm one of them, that's for sure.
If you're wondering what felt stuff that she makes looks like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Our model today. This is
and
a handbag and a hat that I made. Did all the millinery work. It's got the wiring in. It's got the grow grain. It's got the textures, like the fedora, and it's all been used using recycled silks from like Goodwills and thrift shops, and the handbag, again, is the complimentary type of thing with leather straps and wooden handles, so you got a bunch of textures going on with a lot of little bling in the handbag that was actually already in the fabrics when I created it.
Up close, it's beautiful. If I could push it up to the camera lens, I would.
Okay, with the hat, do you just freeform that, or is that on a form so you can get a hat size?
Well, you start off with the resist.
Okay, from the beginning, how do you do this?
Well,
do you have a pile of wool or
You'll start off with a resist, and this is made, actually, this is a flooring that you can get from, like, Lowe's, and it's thick enough that you can feel it when it's underneath all the wool and stuff. You start your fabric, your pattern has to be at least about 50% the size, because there's going to be an enormous shrink rate.
So that's
you'll
the
lay
pattern you use for that hat.
For this hat, for this
size.
Particular hat, it started out this to become this size. And what I've done here is I've laid out wool. So let's say like this was, well, you lay out your wool, and on top of this one I actually had some silk fabrics. And so once you get your wool on top of your resist, you put water and soap, and you roll it up in something simple like bubble wrap, or in this case this was actually pull. From the pull, you know, the pull things that you put on to protect your pull. Well, these serves as, with felting, there's three things. You got your soap, your water, and your friction. So when you apply friction, it goes over these bubbles, and it starts the process of felt making. And so as you rub, in whatever direction that you rub it in, that's the way the fibers will start shrinking. So whenever you want to do a hat, it's very important to whatever shape you want, that you make sure that that's the way you will shrink it, the direction. because you don't want your hat to be this long and then that thin. So it's a pretty tedious process when you get down to this, because you know you want to make sure it's even, and as you're doing the wool it will get kind of crooked and uneven, and so you have to start working at getting it to all even out. So with the wrap here, you can do your shrinking and do kind of like spot shrinking.
Oh.
But again, the process is you take your wool, lay it out in the on your resist, mm-hmm. you apply your soap and your water, you roll it up, and then you do your rolling. And you do it in all the directions. You flip it over, roll it again. Then it comes to a point where you take it out of the resist. When it's felted enough, you can take this out. And that
so the wool's going
down
on both sides of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's how you get your three-dimensional. If you just
so
lay it out.
Itself.
Right. So you're actually laying it on both sides.
Okay.
And then
so is this just like a pile of fibers?
Basically, yeah, because when you lay out fibers, you want to alternate the way it's layered. If you laid out, again, shrinkage, anything, if I lay out all my wool in that one direction, when I shrink it, it can only shrink this way. So it's important that you go back and forth. So
and
90 all
degrees?
Those, well, it's
or
depending.
Or would you go like, you know.
On a hat like this, I do up and down and left and right.
Mm-hmm.
If I want a flare on a skirt, then I will come up in an angle because you got that, you know, the shrinkage coming up that way.
Okay.
So it's a lot of, you know, just like anything. If,
so it's kind of a free-form weaving.
Yeah, and sculpturing, you know, like clay, how people, you know, will work your clay a certain way to get it a particular shape that
mm-hmm.
kind of works the same way. But, yeah, it's, and depending on how many layers, the thicker the wool is, the less shrinkage you get. Because, you know, you got these little fiber soldiers, and so the more soldiers you have in that area, it doesn't have that much room to really move. So you also have to make sure that you have the right amount of wool to be able to get the right shrink rate that you want. And you always do a little testing. It's always important as a felt maker, if you're even familiar with your product, is to do like a 6x6 or a 12x12, so when they shrink down, you can calculate what your shrink rate is, which is really important.
Okay. That's with different batches of the wool.
Yeah.
Because they have their...
Right, and dyeing, even if it's natural dyed versus acid dyeing, a non-natural way of dyeing, you know, it can affect how your product will shrink. So it's always important. You know, just never assume that, oh, I'm going to make a hat a 50% shrink rate. You can't guarantee that. You should always make a sample to know exactly what, especially when you're working with fashion and you're wanting a particular size or shape.
Right.
It's important.
And do you incorporate other materials?
Yes. Like I said, I do a layer of my wool, and then I lay down different fabrics, a really thin 100% China silk. And, like, it usually comes from the Goodwills or Thrift of Americas and type of places like that.
Repurposing.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And the wool becomes part of that.
Yes.
The two materials come together.
Right. Like
to make
in this
one.
Jack and this vest here, it started out, and you can see this section here is just the fabric. That in these sections I laid out wool, and it was really, you can see that ruching, it gets really bunched up.
Yeah, I thought that would be elastic looking,
yeah.
But it's mm-hmm. it's pretty
tight.
You know,
yeah,
it has
tight.
A little movement,
sure,
a little stretchability.
But it doesn't, you know, I thought
you know, not,
those
yeah.
ridges would all like pull out.
Yeah,
but
no,
they don't.
No, it's
it
there to
keeps,
stay.
It keeps
it's migrated.
Form.
Yeah. It's migrated through the fabric, through the weave of the fabric, so it maintains on this side here. If you look at it, had a real detail, you can see actually where the wool is on this side.
What kind of care would that take? You know, the hat?
Oh, good.
Or
good
that?
Question.
What kind of care?
Just like it's made with water, soap and water. You could use, like, wool light, just lay it down
so
in there.
So hand washing?
Yeah, just like if you had a wool sweater. If you wash it in the washer and you dry it, it's going to shrink and be down to that.
Barbie clothes.
Yeah. So it's important, like, just treat it like any wool garment, you know, take it to the laundromat or do the woolite type of deal and block it, shape it again.
Now, do different fibers, you know, say like if it was, you use goat.
No, I do not use goat. I use merino wool, fine merino wool, sheep wool.
Okay.
I embellish with Angora goat, with the
mohair
as an embellishment.
So if, you know, with these different fibers, whether it's sheep or goat or whatever.
Whatever.
Do they shrink in different?
Oh, yeah. The theory of looking at fiber is merino wool, a fine merino wool, you would have a fiber, say, like this, thin, small.
Mm-hmm.
You can have different, the heavier the wool, the medium wools, you would be more in the middle finger area. And the really heavy wools would be a thick, like a diameter, really thick.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're making garments, that's going to be up against your skin, it's best to use something fine. The heavier you get, the wool on the size of the thumb, that would make great rugs.
I think they use that in my army clothes.
Yes. I think so, to scratch you to death.
Yeah.
No, with Band-Aids. Exactly.
That's uncomfortable.
It is, yeah.
Oh,
unless you're really tough and you got calluses, you could wear the heavier. But no, it's easier if you stay with the nice finer things for, because what it is, you know, the finer it is, you're not going to be able to walk on it. You know, it's like China. You know, I mean, if you had a plastic plate, you can walk on it easier than you could a piece of China. Well, you know, you wouldn't want to use a very fine merino because that's not going to hold it. It's not going to withstand. You get that peeling type of thing.
Oh,
a little,
yes.
You know, when you rub, you've all had sweaters where you've rubbed it and you have these little.
Yes.
And you have to shave it.
Yes.
So that kind of, the finer the wool, you will get that peeling unless it's really, really tight, and then you'll still get a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you do too, have big furry dogs.
Yes.
Can you, if, you know, when I brush those guys out, I come up with a ball full of hair like this.
Yes, you can felt
you,
it.
Can you do that?
Yes, you can. You might want to add a little teeny bit of wool to it to get it to grab.
Hmm.
But
is that too slick then? Is wool?
Just like people's hair, you know, it's all about barbs. You know, fibers have barbs in it.
Okay.
And when the process of felting, when you hit water and soap, those barbs pop out. And then the friction, that's actually the dancing, and it bonds together. So the more fiber of the barbs you have, the easier it'll go together. So like your hair, my hair, we have the barbs, but like sheep wool would have the more barbs. But you know how we wake up in the morning and, you know, if you have hair, it gets tangled up.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's the same thing. The barbs, the friction of rubbing on the thing and, you know, gets it and then gets knotted up, and that's what felting is basically doing.
So if you made a mistake with this, can you undo it and use the same stuff over again or not?
As long as there are barbs, this is the final product. You couldn't do anything with it.
You can't undo that.
Not really. Not a, you could wet it down and maybe it's pretty tight.
Yeah.
As long as the rule is, as long as you could actually pull some of the fiber away, you're going to grab some of those barbs. And then you could actually do some modifications. But
you couldn't take that apart and make one of these?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was any.
Any hope?
Well,
no.
Unless you tie this together.
Yeah.
I'm
going
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
To sew it all together.
A little short. Little.
Yeah, I'll try. You can make a handbag out of it, I think. I don't know if you could wear that as a hat, though.
Well,
she might.
I might.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we were getting there. Don't rush me. Okay. So let's take a look at some of the different fashions you've created.
Oh,
now,
goodness.
Are these from head to toe all your creation?
Yes.
And
yes.
They're wool and felted and all that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
They've all been designed. I've created them all on a resist, and all the garments are, in fact, recycled items from the Goodwills that had been ripped up and just restructured and put down. I call my work shambolic. It means chaos in an organized way. And that's how I describe my work. I like to show that there's
now,
just
a
lot of...
Now, is there feathers on that one?
It was
the
a little clip.
One.
A little clip. Yeah, it was feathers, but it was just a little clip. I didn't felt it in.
All right.
But you can felt feathers in.
Marlene, they're so gorgeous. Oh, my gosh.
Now, was that...
That was actually a skirt, bottom of a skirt that I thought should be a top.
Oh.
So I flipped it up and made it a top, and the bottom was a bunch of different items. But I just thought the roses were so pretty that it should be on top of you instead of on the bottom.
That's amazing.
This I was inspired by turquoise. I like southwestern type of things, and so this was my interpretation of the turquoise mines.
How about the belt? Was that something?
I had the belt made from a lady down in North Carolina at Royal Peasantry. She does recycled leather good.
Okay, so you had that belt
that
made
melt,
for this?
Right, yes.
Okay.
Just for that dress. And this was, again, it's a jacket. I actually tried, instead of making it a seamless garment, this was actually sewn together. One of my first items to be sewn. I'm really not a sewer. I thought I would give it a try. This is my gypsy outfit, and it's just rips of different fabrics, and the top of her at the waistband is a lot of the felting, and the top is just a recycled top. And this was my Maldives. This was in the International Surface Association runway show in Texas a couple of years ago. And here's my scarf and a handbag, just like normally. I call that my kaleidoscope scarf.
So the dress is not yours, but the
no,
scarf and
the
handbag.
No, that is the scarf and the handbag in this case, yeah. And she actually is carrying a jacket, but you can't see that, and that's a close-up of the bag.
Oh, my goodness.
They're
so beautiful.
And that's hand-sewn around the edges?
This is all felted. There's no sewing on this. This is all seamless items here.
Oh, my goodness.
Except for the little brooch there. I was on mine. That was a detail of the hat. And again, it's all millinery. Again, this is the front of the jacket you just saw a minute ago. Kind of has an animal print.
And it's all felted?
Yes. Yes. And this is all felted. This I used some piping and some kind of, I can't just.
I was
going to
say what the handles are.
Yeah, it had like, I got it at Lowe's. I thought this would be cool. But and so I did a piping through it, and then we put the piping here.
Where are you
actually
going with the pictures? Back up to.
This is my wounded. It was in a recycled show, and it was one of the honorable mentions. There was only one person who won, but they did give two other honorable mentions, and this was called Something Blooming, and I was one of the ones that actually had the recycled yellow tag on top of it, so that was exciting.
So what, okay, this is a fashion show. What other type of fashions, is it all people that do felting, or is it anything goes, or what?
Oh, you can do a whole lot with felting. You mean just in general what you can do?
What are you competing against?
Oh, everything. Portraits, any type of medium. When I go on a show, yeah, they're not just fashion shows.
Okay.
That last one, The Wounded, was a recycle show, and it was using any type of recycling. And so it was really an honor that felting got chosen for that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was excited.
Earlier you were talking about the history of felting and how it's such a lost art.
Yes, it's the oldest art is felt making, and it goes back. I tell the kids that, you know, it was on the ark that, you know, that all the animals and their fibers fell off, and the water was coming in, and it got on the fibers, and the animals were stomping on it, and then when all the animals came off, there was felt, and that's how it started. Yeah, that's you believe me?
I do.
The arch was carpeted with felt.
That's it was. Literally.
Yes.
But yeah, it goes back. Soldiers used it, the felt underneath. And I was telling you that they used the farmers, the people of the nomads had to use the animals, their fibers they used as their homes.
That's amazing.
It depended on how large their flock, on how large their home was, and they would make big panels of felt. And then with these wood, they would arch them and actually attach, and then in the winters, it could come up. But they could move their yurts as they needed their food and how things are in the winter and the summer.
I would thought it would be fun to live in a yurt.
Yes.
I think
they're around.
So cool.
I like to say it.
Yeah.
Yurt.
Yes.
I know.
Excuse me, I have a yurt.
Yes, pardon me. Excuse me.
Is that yurt for sale?
No, I do think they do have, you can rent a yurt up in the Hocking Hills.
You can?
Oh.
Yeah.
But
go
oh
look
God.
At some campgrounds and stuff in the in the area,
mm-hmm.
and some places do have yurts that you can go to and,
oh my
and camp out.
I wonder if they're
really
felted.
Yeah, they're felted, yeah.
Oh
yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
I'm not sure if they're felted or canvas or what.
Oh, if it's a real yurt, it'd be wool.
So officially,
if you're calling it a yurt, it needs to be felted.
So you probably treat that with something?
No.
Weatherproofing
or
like, you know, when it's raining.
What? Have you never saw a wet sheet before?
Yeah.
They don't get wet.
No.
They don't get wet. No, they got the lanolin and the yolk and,
well,
you know, different things that keep them
waterproof.
They're waterproof.
Naturally.
I need
crazy?
To introduce you to an animu.
Now, the you use water and soap. Is the soap supposed to be a lubricant?
Yeah, in some ways, but there's a chemical reaction to it too. But yeah, it helps the slickiness. I like to use olive oil soap. It gives a lot of the slickiness, but not very many suds. And as you're at, like, Dawn, have you ever tried to wash dishes and
yes.
you have that big thing of soap
mm-hmm.
suds?
Yes.
Well, that happens when you felt. So. Using the olive oil. Now, if I was using, again, it all depends on, I use the merino wool, so it's a very thin fiber. If I went out here and I used the oldest, thickest wool sheet
mm-hmm.
there is, then I would need the palm olive just to get through the dirt,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
So it kind of depends on that, too.
So real quickly, where could we find your products?
At the artisan shop, you can get a hold of Valerie
mm-hmm.
or Kelsey. They can...
And would you do a commissioned piece?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I need a jacket
do,
that's brown or whatever. And
custom, yeah.
Custom, I do custom. And, you know, if they have particular silk garments they want me to use, I can do that. Or make them a fancy hat for the Kentucky Derby or weddings or whatever.
Yeah.
I can do it all.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Oh, I'm a big fan.
Okay. So go down to the artisan shop and studio in Galt Police and check out some of the stuff that's hanging on the walls.
Amazing.
And different places and see if it fits.
Yes. Oh, that's fun. It's a
okay.
fun place to go.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Marlene.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
And thank you for watching. We'll see you next month on Exposition.